charging my stepfather's combat boots, right? And he had dress boots that he had to wear in certain parades and stuff like that, or when he stood. And my job was to make them shine. You know how I made them shine? I polished them. I put the stuff and I polished them. And now you could see yourself. You part your hair in those boots. They're never good enough, but I did it, right? What's God got to do to the church to make her shine? Shine forth the glory of God.
Rough
her up. Got to polish it. Got to put some friction on there. Got to rub it until it makes it, until the goodness comes out. Iron sharpening iron. That type of thing. And so here we are. We're looking into the state of the church in the last day. All right? And we talked about the loveless church. All right? That was Ephesus. And God's warning to that church is, either come back or I'm going to remove your lampstand. All right? And not just that church. That's for the church today. Right? If the people of Christ do not repent and come back to the gospel of Jesus Christ, guess what he's going to do? He's going to remove the lampstand. We're just kind of backtracking and getting a little forward here. And the cure for that is to repent and to return. How are we going to stop our light from being removed? Repent and return. Repent and return, right? Then there's the persecuted church. That's the church of Smyrna. And he told them, although that the persecution was coming, don't be afraid. Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. I know where you are. You're in New York. You're at the seat of Satan. That's where you're at. That's okay. Don't be afraid. Persevere. Don't stop worshiping. Don't stop meeting. Don't stop loving. And be faithful all the way to death. And I will give you a crown of life. Amen. How about that? Who here wants that? Well, you've got to persevere through the times that are hard. And he says that for the persecuted church, the worldly church, the churches that give in to fear, the churches that worship Baalism, or they're very friendly with the Nicolaitan doctrine, which part of that Nicolaitan is Nico, means above, and Laitan is laity. Above the laity is where I'm the pastor, I know everything, all of you little people, leave it alone. You don't know nothing. And this church here, they loved that. They didn't like to study and chew their own food. People, I am not here to chew your food for you. I'll put it on your plate. You want to eat it, you can. If you don't, scrape it off yourself. All right? I'm not chewing it for you. That's your job. But the Nicolaitans, or that church, they would chew it for the people, and then they would spew it into their, like a baby bird does, so I don't have to get any more ugly than that. And they also enjoyed fornication. Listen, there's so many churches today that think that sex outside of marriage is okay. God says it's not. Simple and plain, it's fornication. No fornicator will be allowed into the kingdom of heaven. You know that? So keep it zipped up till you get married. When you get married, let her rip, tater chip. Right? It's as good as you can. It whatever you can do, as long as it's in the confines of the marital bed, and y'all both agree with it, I don't know, whatever tickles you, yeah, do it. It's good for you. Right? And God says here, if you're getting into this, God will fight against you. Who here wants to be fought against by God? He says, I'll take the sword of my mouth and I'll fight you. I don't want to be against God in anything. All right? So I need to make sure that I'm not giving over to worshiping the idols of Baalism or doctrines of Nicolaitans or giving over to fornication of any sort. Right? When Israel would go and worship other gods, what did God call that?
Idolatry,
but he also said, you have gone a whoring. You've gone whoring. You've gone outside of the covenant relationship of God, and you're whoring after other gods, other idols. That is a spiritual fornication. We need to be really careful about that in our day and time, because Twitter, Facebook, Parler, Internet, Google, all of that stuff can easily become an idol to us. right? Ask yourself this, how many hours do you spend reading your Bible or social media? Weigh those two out. All right, put them on a scale and just look at the time. I spend 2 hours a day reading, studying, praying my Bible. Anyone? Okay, all right. I spend 6 hours a day, and we can find this out pretty easy because your computer keeps track of it. You spend so many hours a day on social media, YouTube. Or if you're down south, y'all too. All right? Yeah. You look at the time that you spend. Have we gone pouring after the beast? www.666. The internet. People, the internet is evil. In my mind, it's evil. I mean, are there some good things that happen to it? Yeah. I look up Bible verses on media. Right? I do. You know, but it also is very easy for me to get distracted and drugged down ways that I really didn't want to go, but I did anyhow. Right? I didn't mean, you know, I was listening to the Hands of an Angry God. I do it first year, every year. So I listened to that about halfway through it. I wanted to see what was going on in the news. So I turned it off and I started looking at the news. It wasn't a full hour before I got back to the sermon. I went a whoring after something else. God had me stuck in a spot that I needed to read and study and pray about. Anyhow, it happened. My brother,
where are we at?
I'm right here and you're right over there. We will get there here in just a minute because we're getting to the next church. And this is where we'll be at today. Revelation chapter 2, 19 to 29. And this is the church of Thyatira. All right, so anybody want to read that? Or any other thoughts before we get into that? While you're opening your Bible, anybody feel led by the Lord?
29. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Okay, so this church of Thyatira, God starts out in verse 19, I know what you're up to. I know your works. I know the good, bad, and the ugly if you're a Clint Eastwood fan. He knows the whole gig here. What's going on? I know your works and your charity, your love. I understand that in this body, there's still people that love. There's still people that walk around in agape. And so in that charity, in that love, I know what's going on. I know your faith. I know your patience. And I know your works. The last being more than the first. All right? When he says that, what's he talking about? What's God talking? Christ talking to the church. The last be more than the first. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He knows more. Their works. Now think about the church and how much between real relationship with God and works. God says, I know your works. I know that. What's another word? When you come to church, there's all these little things going on. Programs. I know your programs. Right? I know what you're doing. I know your programs. They're not all bad, but often many churches get all involved in the programs, the ministry, or they call them ministries, but maybe that's not what they're supposed to be doing at all. But God says, I know your works. I know what you're doing. I know your charity, your service, your faith, your patience, your works, and the last being more than the first. The last works are more than the first works. I know you're just doing things. You look very religious. You look alive, but really and truly, you're not alive. Although there's still love, there's still things going on. And the main, any thoughts with that? Right, wrong, and different? A chance to argue with me? Alright, so in verse 20 he says, notwithstanding a few things against thee, I have a few things against thee, that thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. Does anyone remember the account of Jezebel? We know that she came from an idolatrous family, and she kind of pushed her husband around. Right? Ahaz wanted a field that was owned by another fellow, and the guys, I can't remember all the names, so please forgive me about that. You can go back and study it for yourself. But the guy didn't want to sell it because it belonged to his family. I'm not going to sell it. Nabal.
Is it Nabal?
Nabal. That's right. Nabal. Yeah. Nabal. And so he said, I don't want to sell it. And the king, Ahaz, kind of whined a little bit. He was feeling down. Man, I'm not getting my way. He won't sell it. And Jezebel said, hey, let me handle it. So she made up this horrible lie. And she got men to lie about him. And they ended up killing Nabal. And then Ahaz took the field.
False witnesses.
False witnesses.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was the spirit of Jezebel. She was... She was not a good.
She was a Baal worshiper.
She was a Baal worshiper. In other words,
she was daughter of a Sidonian king.
Yeah.
So she was pagan.
She was pagan. Yeah. And she was doing the things of the world. Yeah. And this church here says that this church, this group of believers, are putting up with the spirit of Jezebel. Now, Jezebel was dead a long time ago. In fact, her end was thrown off the tower and the dogs licked up her blood. Right? Woohoo! Good for you, right? But that spirit of Jezebel was alive in the church. How many times do we see where the woman tries to run the show? Even if the husband's a bonehead. I'm a bonehead. I am, but my wife lets me run. Okay? She doesn't tell me what to do, what not to do. That kind of stuff. She does give me good suggestion. Hey, Curtis, you ought not do this because it's pretty boneheaded. All right? But if I say I'm going to do it anyhow, she says, okay, you go ahead. I'm going to stand back and watch the rat. You know? And she does. It's happened in our marriage a lot of times. But she humbles herself and she comes along beside me. And she doesn't rub it in too hard. Right? After it fails. You know? She does say, you know, you wouldn't listen to me. You wouldn't have been here. That has happened how many times? Like over 20 years, at least 75 times. And so,
how many years your shoes on?
That's in her lifetime. But here in the body of Christ, now I took a very physical thing and trying to apply it to a very spiritual thing. In the body of Christ, in the church, there are certain people who call themselves Christian that believe this spirit of Jezebel, this you suffers that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, a preacher. Okay? Women preachers. Alright, this might ruffle some feathers. Alright? Should women preach?
Over women.
Oh, thank you. I didn't say that they cannot teach. Alright? There's nothing wrong with a woman teaching other women. It tells us in Timothy that a woman should not have authority over a man. God set things up in a certain way. All right, He set up a hierarchy. He set up there's God, there's the Father, there's the wife, there's the children. Right, and He set it up that way, and it's supposed to represent Christ. So when we have women trying to overlord their men, even in the church, women pastors, all right, overlording men in the church, that is against God's word. Now, there's a lot of folks out there that say, well, my woman teacher is a better teacher than you. I'm not saying that she ain't. All right? There's a lot of things about the curse that I don't like. Okay? Part of the curse is that the woman would have a desire for her man. That's not a physical, lustful desire. It is a desire for the position of the man. All right? That's part of the curse. There's another part of the curse that I don't like, that women are supposed to have childbirth painful. You know, out of all of nature, all the little does that have baby deer out in the woods and stuff like that, they're walking along, it falls out, no big deal. They turn around, they lick it up, right? That's nature. You see that over and over and over. There's some that have problems, but most of all, that's how it happens. But for a human woman, it is a very painful, next-to-death experience, right? Now, I've never experienced it, but I've heard the screaming from the other room. It doesn't sound like anything I wanted to take part in. Okay? That's part of the curse. The other part of the curse is that she would want the desire, the headship of the family. Another part of the curse that I don't like is that men have got to make a living off of the sweat of their brow. That the earth will no longer just give its fruit to the man. None of that stuff I like. But God didn't ask me about it. All right? And he set these parameters up that women are not supposed to have authority, pastorship, over men. There's a lot of churches right here in America and around the world in Africa. That was a big thing when I went to Africa and was teaching. A lot of those men that were there for the Bible Institute, well, said, we came across that scripture in Timothy, and they really disagreed with it. All right, they came to that place, and the women are going to, men will see dreams, and women will prophesy, and all that kind of stuff. Now, will that happen? Yeah, there's a lot of things that go along with that. It still doesn't mean that they're going to be pastoring a church. Pastoring a church is probably the hardest thing you'll ever do. And it cannot be run with emotions. Alright? And ladies, you are much more emotional than what guys are. And, yeah.
I think men are supposed to fall.
Yeah.
When things grow up, mm-hmm. the man's supposed to take it.
Yes, absolutely.
Because he's emotionally equipped.
Yeah.
It's not to do with a woman being inferior.
No.
I think they're smarter than their men are.
No, because there's a lot of women in this room that are way smarter than I am.
Yeah.
All right? But you could throw crap at me and it don't bother me. Right? You're not going to make me cry about it.
Right. It's a, yeah.
You know, and it's just because I'm a guy. You know, and you sling it at me. I don't care. All right? But you throw it at my wife, she goes, it breaks her emotionally. Someone says something, her kids raise up against her, something like that, it hurts her deeply. Someone leaves the church, it bothers my wife. It really does. My wife, God bless her, I love her to pieces, she has her same kindergarten friends. And they still hang out together. They go to lunch and to dinner with each other from kindergarten. They used to write on shovels back then with pieces of coal. That's a long time ago. I don't know anybody. People come to church and they get attached to my wife. My wife gets attached to them and they leave. It hurts her a lot more than it does me.
That's why she's a mother.
Yeah, that's why she's a mother.
Because they have empathy.
Yes. And it's a beautiful thing.
That's right.
It's a beautiful thing because when the baby falls down, she runs to it. The baby falls down in front of me. I can't get up. Stop.
Stop it.
Stop your throwing it.
Stop it.
Suck it up.
I see him with the little kids.
Yeah.
He's bad.
Right. But I did run my own child out on my couch because he would not go to work. I sent him right out. You know, don't let the door hit you where the horse glitch in. love you, see you, bye. You know, get a job or go home.
He wasn't a little kid.
No, no. He was to me, you know, but still. Anyhow, you're absolutely right. So women should, because of their makeup, because God made them this wonderful, beautiful way, they are the weaker, weaker meaning more precious vessel. And the men, I always love this description. Men are like the coffee cup rolling around the bottom of the truck. Scratched up, dinged up, full of dirt, nasty. You pick it up, you blow it off, you put more coffee and drink it again, right? That's what a man is. A woman is like this beautiful crystal vase. It was the last creation that God made. And it was, in fact, it was so great when Adam saw her, he said, "Whoa, man, what a great thing." And so they called her woman. Whoa, man. And so anyhow, women are, they're just really different than what guys are. And I'm not saying that women can't be leaders. They can be leaders. You have Deborah, right, in the Bible. Yes.
So the power of 31 woman.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
She's an extension of her husband.
Thank you, yes. You know, and so there's...
They've got a relationship that the Lord has ordained.
Mm-hmm.
Husband loves his wife, and the wife is submitted to her husband
right.
in all things.
Yeah,
that's the beginning of developing your wife into a virtuous woman.
Yes.
It's a man's job.
Mm-hmm.
You can't find one because you have to make it.
Right. Absolutely. Yes. And men, they're supposed to be that wall that the vine, the wife, grows on. And we support that wife. And we allow that wife to become everything God wants her to be. All right? We don't crush that vine. We nurture that vine and help it to grow. Well, here in this church, they got it backwards. They have a woman leading them through emotion. That's why you end up with homosexual pastors. That's why you end up with great sin in coming from the pulpit. Teaching another gospel, which is not a gospel. Because they're preaching from emotion and not reality. Well, it's reality, but it's emotional and not just the facts. What was that old show? The Facts, Man. Nothing but the facts.
Dragnet,
that was it, yeah. Yeah. And so, men are, we're built to deliver things differently than what a woman does. And it's not that women are inferior. They're not. I love women. Right? I really do. But I don't get as emotionally connected, and I don't speak too much out of my feelings. Nobody cares what I feel. I really don't care what y'all feel. Feelings change. They come and they go. Women are very attracted to feelings. And so this church here, they allow this Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess, a preacher, she taught and she deuced my servants to commit fornication. Oh, it's okay if you have same sex marriage. As long as you love each other. Right? That came from the spirit of Jezebel. That is that Jezebelian spirit. And any pastor, male or female, that agrees with that is going strictly against God's word. And so God says that to eat and to eat the things sacrificed to idols, to eat unclean stuff, to eat things that you ought not to be taking into you, things that you shouldn't be taking in. Right? Eating things sacrificed to idols. Now God gave her a space to repent. To repent of that fornication, and she repented not. I am woman, hear me roar. Right? Watch me pass out on your floor. And I've done it just like 20 times before. Yes, no, that's not the right verse. That's the one that I added up to it. Yeah, but
she forgot the words of that song.
No, really?
The one that sang it, Hello, Ready.
Oh, did she?
She forgot the words. The words were, as you just...
Yes.
You know,
right. Helen really didn't know her own song. I re-wrote it. Anyhow, but she didn't repent of her fornication. And behold, I cast her into the bed, and them that commit adultery with her unto great tribulation, except to repent, they repent from their deeds. So God is saying, anybody here, anybody who agrees with this doctrine, he's going to let you do it. If you want to do it, he's going to let you do it. You want to believe that? You want to think that a woman has that authority in the church? And you really believe that? God says, all right, go for it. All right, I'm going to give you a chance to repent. I'm going to give you the truth of my word, but I'm not going to force you to take it. Free will. Free will. Now, I don't have anything against Joyce Myers, except that she's just weird. You know, but she started out not bad. Right? She started out okay teaching women's groups. But then she got in this whole wealth and prosperity thing, and go ahead.
Her voice became very, very masculine too.
Yes, it did.
You hear her instead of seeing her too.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, that sounds like a man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really strange. And she pretty much rules over her husband. You know?
And supposedly he's happy to have it
now. Yeah. Yeah. And he's happy to have it here. Yeah, you don't love
it. She's saying that's her gift.
Yes.
And he's saying administration is his gift. So
right.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm just saying.
That's what I've heard.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if she's teaching women's groups, praise God. I don't think she has a church, so she's not a pastor. Right? She doesn't claim to be a pastor. She claims to be an evangelist. But there are women pastors. The Presbyterian church right there in town had a woman pastor all the way until they got some guy to be a pastor. All right? Go ahead, Alan. You're saying something?
Well, and then the same part of the curse is the fact that as the woman takes over, the man steps back and allows her.
Yes.
By the way, the house needs paint? Great, honey. Take care of it.
Take care of it.
But ball game's not anyway. So.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, because guys are lazy. We are. I'll be right straight honest with you. I would rather not.
That's why he says you have to work by the sweat of your brow. You have to.
Yes.
Okay. Not, well, I'll let you sweat by the brow.
Work, yeah.
Work by the sweat of your brow.
Yeah, this
he
is
says,
a,
no, you
have
to.
If you're going to get anything, you're going to have to do it. And my wife knows me real well. She knows that I work well off of lists. Because back when she was going off to work every day, you know, and she'd say, well, honey, this is what I like to see done, boom, 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 boom. She'd walk out the door. You know what I remember? Nothing. So what did I do? Whatever I wanted to. You know? It wasn't the things didn't get done. It just wasn't what she wanted done. Right? Which cost a little bit of thing. And then we realized that if she would just write it down, don't hound me about it. Write it down. And guess what? It gets done. Right?
Yeah.
And but if you push me... You can't push me. Try it. You cannot push me. You push me, I'll just ball out straight. But if you don't give me instruction, if you don't give me what you desire, I'm going to do what I desire. That's the nature of people. That's just the way things are. But this is a church that allowed a woman, the spirit of Jezebel, to seduce the people that were there. And God gave them a chance to repent. I don't know exactly what that means. I think it means that they had the word of God, and they knew what was right. They had the spirit of God. They knew what was right to do, and they chose not to do it. See, they followed their pastoress, their prophetess, instead of following the word of God. Yes, my brother.
I just want to say, in my defense, I hadn't listened to Doris Meyer in over a year now.
Well, good for you.
That's all,
man. Yes, Mrs.
If we don't have the right definitions for what God, so in other words, if God teaches women should be submissive to their husband, now why does it get taken out of context? I don't know if it's
yes.
So we're supposed to submit to our husband, but what if he is abusive or?
Right.
Or so why does it get taken out of context?
No.
We're trying to follow this, but
it is
the husband leading in the right way?
You got a good point.
What it says is
first husbands got to love God. Okay, we got to have.
What if he doesn't? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Well,
it's
ladies,
like
I think we're still supposed to submit as long as it doesn't come against something
no.
God.
Yes, if God's
saying
it.
And I'm not saying my husband doesn't. I'm just saying, I'm not saying.
I know ladies that are in that predicament, right?
Right.
Their husbands are ungodly, and they want their wives to do ungodly things.
Right.
The word submission, I'll be right with you. The word submission does not mean underneath. It means come along beside.
And I think the definitions, we don't have, aren't all on the same page with what the words mean.
Right.
So, I don't know how.
Yeah, because we were never, God never gave men the right to beat down a woman. We're not supposed to beat
down. Love your
we're supposed to love our wives as Christ loved the church.
But that sounds awesome that the man, like the woman is going to become all she's going to be because the husband is going to
love her the way, and that's the way God meant it to be, because that's what Christ did for us, right? Christ loved us before we were right, and he allowed us to grow into whatever he wanted us to be. That's what the husbands are supposed to do in the husband and wife scenario in life. So don't, first of all, ladies, don't get married out of emotion. Guys, don't get married out of desire, all right? Because emotion... having this problem now. One got married out of a desire, I want to have this. The other got married out of emotion, I think God called me to this. But we knew that they were not equally yoked, right? And they got married, and now they're several years into it, and it's really hard for them, right? She doesn't come along beside her husband. And
it's a huge problem.
It makes a huge
problem. All divorces, and then families break up. And then...
Yes.
So somehow we got to get back to the foundation.
Well, to get back to that foundation, first we need to repent, right, and get back to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
What does God say marriage looks like? What does God say the hierarchy of the family looks like? Go ahead, brother.
For a woman who's in a bad relationship, pray for your husband.
Yeah.
Dad was not a believer.
Mm.
She prayed for him 6 months before he passed away at 86.
Yeah.
He got saved. Like flipping a light switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I
prayed for him her whole life.
I agree with that. But so she needed. I'm just used. We're
getting
off a topic.
No, it's because I go ahead, sis.
Well, even in the Joyce Meyer thing, you're right. You know that her gift is to teach women.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. So that's her gift, and he comes alongside her and he helps her do that. Unfortunately, the world has twisted it into something different that's not balanced. So that men are sitting under her teaching now.
Mm-hmm.
That's man's mistake.
Yes. Yes.
You
so
know,
you can't blame the woman because the men didn't know who they were in Christ.
And even if your husband isn't saved, you will still grow in Christ.
Yeah.
Even if your husband is not saved, you will grow in Christ.
Yes.
If you are focusing
on Christ. Yeah.
I think a lot of it starts with just a man and a woman. One's saved and one's not.
Yes.
I mean, that's because if they're both saved, then, I mean, I think you got to look to Christ. Both look to Christ.
Yes.
As they're looking to Christ, they're getting drawn closer and closer to each other.
Yes.
I mean, Jesus Christ is the peak. He's the pinnacle. As they look to Christ, submit to Christ, then they submit to each other. And they love each other.
So I'm thinking again about my kids. We need to teach our children. My boys are going to be husbands. My daughter's going to be a woman. I mean, if, you know, they get married. I'm just saying, we need to bring up the next generation.
Yes. Yeah.
In a way.
How many of your children turn to righteousness?
I have an 18-year-old, a 16-year-old, and a 14-year-old.
Wow. Praise God. You don't want to look like 15 yourself. Anyhow, but you're right. And go ahead.
What Kevin said is totally true. There's one addition that I would like to make, and that's when we walk in the Spirit. Because when I'm in the flesh, I still do really want to control.
Yeah.
I do.
Well,
I don't care.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah, there's that.
We're not trying to control. I think we're trying to help, maybe. Help her.
Well, you can say it like that.
I want to help. I want to form you into the way I want you to be.
I think that's true.
And so,
because he's a dummy.
He's a
fly hobby. He doesn't get it.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
Because why is it that the women are so often more intelligent than their husbands are?
Yeah.
Now you said something intelligent.
Oh, I know.
Go ahead, Jim.
Was there a woman in church?
Yeah.
The men haven't been strong.
Thank you.
They haven't stood for the truth. They haven't been with
them. They haven't loved their wives as Christ loved the church.
Yeah.
And we've lost a lot.
Yeah.
They've lost a lot with losing men. And their guys and their men are really giving up.
I mean, you can't show the next generation anything good at church, right?
Our churches, they're what they're, we're talking about right here.
Mm-hmm.
Women teaching men.
Right.
All this stuff is, men should have stood up a long time ago.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of this comes with the women's movement, the feminist movement. Now, don't get me wrong, the women have a right to vote. They always had a right to vote. They should have never not been able to vote. Okay, a lot of folks don't agree with that, but I believe that if you're led by the Holy Spirit, and women are intelligent, they can tell some things. I don't think that women shouldn't have the right to vote. All right, so when I say this, don't go crazy about it. All right, but there are certain things that when the women's movement came, when it became not right for a man to be expected to open your door, to be a gentleman to you, to show you kindness and courteousness because you wanted to burn your bra and be like a man. All right? And so men said, all right, that's what you want? Do it. All right? I'm not going to open your door. You want to go on a date? You pay your half. Right? That type of thing, that came with the whole women's movement in the 60s and 70s. That's where America started losing it. Where the men said, all right, you don't want me to lead? I want lead. You don't desire that out of me? You don't want me to be a man? You don't want me to make my own mistakes? You want to mommy me? Go ahead. I'll nurse from you. And so men became spineless and started wearing skinny jeans. Right?
They also put their women out there in the world to work.
Help pay the bills. Well, instead of the wife staying home and being the new nurturer that she's meant to be, well, let's put her out there on the front lines and let's get her shot at every day.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
by the world. Yeah.
Well, one of the Rockefellers said that they, you know, through the media, they got the women out of the house and the workforce. They said.
Yeah.
The reason was they could get taxes from two people instead of one.
Yeah.
And they get their kids to the indoctrination at public schools.
Right. The woman is
earlier.
The woman is
the preschool.
My wife is the heartbeat of our house. Absolutely. You know,
this was actually a women started.
Go ahead.
Satan's greatest task is to ruin the family. If you can destroy the family, then everything comes off.
There's a ripple effect.
And that's where it all came from.
That's all came from. Go ahead, Alan.
Well, the even the start of that is the word right.
Correct.
Look back in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
What did the children have the right to do back in the day of Israel? They had the right to sit back and listen to the generations that had happened from before being taught by the men.
Right.
Okay, the men were leading the home.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, now the women get the rights. Everything today is rights.
Everything,
I've got the right to bear arms.
Right.
Does that say that in the Bible?
Nope.
It says, this is the arm that I have the right to bear right here.
And that belongs to the Spirit of God. That ain't even yours.
Right.
That's the Spirit's sword. And so in this, the church had given over to this doctrine that women are supposed to be the top. All right? That's that spirit of Jezebel, that she was going to rule everything. And the church gave into it. There wasn't a man in the church that said this far, no further. Go ahead, Jim.
Man gave into it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, remember, Ecclesia. Men gave into it. Yeah, it was easier. Listen, if the women want to fight, I didn't want to fight. Go for it. I'll sit on the couch and eat bonbons or watch the stupid Buffalo Bills.
Soap operas.
Soap operas. Yeah. Sparkles. There's sparkles.
Yeah.
So anyhow, that was something that Jesus said. Listen, if you don't get this right, I'm going to give you over to it. I will throw her down and let everybody who wants to partake in this fornication have at it. He said, I'm going to let you do it. And when that happens, the offspring of that will be born under death and not under life. If you look at what he says here, I gave her space to repent of her fornication. This is 21. She repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her to great tribulation, except they repent from the deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of them according to your works. Look at what the result of that spirit running the church. The result of it. The men didn't stand up, the women took charge. The women started teaching false doctrines, started teaching fornication, eating to idols and all that kind of stuff. And the men still didn't do anything. They agreed with it. The church agreed with them. The body of that place agreed that that's what was a good thing to do. And God said, all right, I'm going to give you over to that. And the offspring of that, the teaching where it starts, and then you teach somebody else, I'm going to kill your children because you taught them that this was the right thing to do. He's not talking about abortion here. Remember, he's talking to the church. He's saying, all right, you want to believe this doctrine? You want to commit fornication this way? Then I'm going to allow that to grow in the church. And the offspring, so the church from here to there, changes drastically. And that church has no life left in it because they listen to false doctrine over here. And who realizes that we digress as history goes on? We don't get smarter, we get dumber. Right? We're going downhill, we're not going uphill.
The other side thinks we are.
Oh, right?
Devolve.
Yes, we don't evolve, we devolve.
Yeah.
Here's a neat thing. I just saw this the other day. Oh, on the internet. Yeah, I saw it on the internet. That the Aztecs had a way to melt rock. All right? In their buildings, so they'd have a keystone that was down like this, and the top of the rock would be absolutely flat, and they melted the rock in the center that filled up the keystone and locked the building into place. Aztecs did that. They built these buildings without cranes. Okay? They moved tons of stone. Right? And this Martians didn't do that. That wasn't like Star Trek and he shot his laser at it. They had technology. There was some stuff, amen. But you look at it, it's this rock and it's melted in the center and flanged back out. They had that technology. They did it over and over again. We can't do that. With all of our technology, all of our lasers, we can't do that right now today.
People could be
not. Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
You know? So yeah, we've gone down. And as false doctrine gets taught in this generation, the next generation, it doubles. The next generation after that, it doubles again. And the next generation, it doubles again. And you go further and further and further and further away from truth. And then you have a church that's preaching death in the children. And they believe that it's life. That's what we'll see as the church progresses into the last days church.
So are we, in reading this right here, what would an example of this type of church be
today?
Homosexual.
Homosexual, the modern day Methodist church, the modern day Presbyterian.
The Unitarian.
Yes. There you go. Amen.
Yes.
That's right.
I've been in there.
Scientology.
A lot of mainstream Protestant churches
are in this right now today.
The social justice evangelical movement.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Social justice evangelical movement. That is this right here. And it started back in John's day. Jesus was seeing this. And if we didn't stop it, if we didn't repent, then it was going to get worse and worse and worse. So it started here with just a few groups of people believing that a woman can be a pastor. After that, they got into all of this feel-good sermonating. Sermonating?
I'm a sermonator.
Sermonizing.
Yeah, sermonizing. I'm a sermonator. Yeah. It'll work. Yeah, so... go ahead, Jessica.
You said a few people believe that women can do this. So mm-hmm. If a few people can lead it in a bad direction, why can't a few people lead it in a good direction?
Right.
Why is it easier?
Yeah, so, well, you're raising your kids, right? Isn't it easier for them to cuss than to say good things?
Yeah,
in a smaller picture, yeah.
Yes. It's when, easier to let them misbehave than correct them.
Correct them. Oh, yeah, we got that here.
Well, you can try to do it all the time.
So, anyhow, in that, yeah, go ahead, sister.
Sin is a natural thing.
Sin is a natural thing. Yes. And it's natural for humans to rebel against God because we have a flesh that wars against the spirit and the spirit that wars against the flesh. These two are contrary to one another. Go ahead, brother.
And we live in a world, and the god of this world is Lucifer.
Yeah.
And he's working overtime all the time.
All the time.
Through his minions.
Yeah.
And
well, and let's not give all this to Lucifer. Some of it's just our heart's desire.
Right.
Go ahead, Jim. I'll be right back with you, Jim.
Yeah. Okay.
To know to do right and do it not is sin.
It's sin, right. Yeah. To know to do right and not do it is sin. Go ahead, Jay. What were you saying?
Yeah, I'd like to read something out of Deuteronomy 6.
Go ahead. That's fathers train your children?
Yeah. Starting at verse 22, and it says, "And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, the Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he had commanded us." You know,
it goes on to then says that fathers are supposed to, when you walk in the field, you teach them these things, and along in daily life and you train your children to what's righteous.
And about that stuff that I just read, it says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently."
Thank you, that's it.
"And to thy children shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Mm-hmm. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of the house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee the great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vine vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not."
And you turn away from
them. "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name." So they had to diligently teach
continually
the children.
And it had to be in their house, right, between their forelips and on their hands and on their doorposts as they walked and as they slept and all those things.
Because if you don't, they forget.
Right.
And then history proved this over and over.
Yes. And when the people of the church stopped teaching the wholeness of the church and changed to a softer type of a gospel, and
Life gets harder.
My wife bought me this wonderful book about the Dead Sea Scrolls, right? And it is the Dead Sea Scrolls. So I finally got to the first teachings of the early church. This is AD 70, right? The early church. And the scrolls that they found in there.
Go for it. Run! Sprint!
I don't mark it as well, but these were for the covenant people, and these covenant people, it says, "On the entering of the covenant, the priest and the Levite shall bless the God of salvation and all of his faithfulness, and all of these entering into the covenants. Say after them, Amen and Amen. And the priest shall recite the favors of the God manifest." It talks about all the good things that the people are supposed to do. And it says, "And all their," excuse me, I got to back up a little bit. And And the priest shall recite the favors of God manifested in his mighty deeds, and shall declare all his mercies and grace to Israel and the Levites, and they shall recite the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their guilty, rebellious sins during the domination. All right, so the preachers are supposed to tell where people are sinning. All right, the domination of Satan. And after them, and all those that enter into the covenant shall confess and say that we have strayed, we have disobeyed, and our fathers that go out before us, they have sinned and done wickedly in walking out of the ways of righteousness, as God has judged us and our fathers also. But He has bestowed His bountiful mercy on us in everlasting covenant. I got to get down a little bit further. Okay, and the next paragraph, and it says, and the Levites shall curse all the men of the lot of Satan, saying, cursed for all your guilty wickedness. May he devour up or torture you at the hands of the vengeful, vengeful adversaries. All right? That he may visit you with destruction by the hand of the wreckers of revenge. May he curse you without mercy from the darkness of your deeds. Be damned in the shadow of the place of the everlasting fire. May God not heed you when you call upon him, nor pardon you when you blot out your sins, that he may raise his angry face toward you for vengeance. He there may know no peace, for you and your mouth hold fast, have not held fast to your fathers. And after the blessings and the cursings, that entered the covenant shall say, amen, amen. And the priests and the Levites shall continue saying, cursed is the man who enters this covenant while walking among idols of his heart, who set up before him a stumbling block of sin, that they may be backsliders. Hearing the words of this covenant, he blessed himself in his heart, saying, peace be with me, even though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. And that he should be plucked up out of the land and stoned to death. That was the early preaching of the church. Did you hear that? If you're walking in the ways of the world, the covenant people said you need to be put to death. That, see, we've gotten away from that because Jesus is our friend. God will never judge you.
It's almost like you wouldn't need government.
You
if people live like that. You would not need government laws.
Absolutely.
Because we have a law. It's higher than you.
It's higher than
right.
But they wanted a king.
Yeah. They wanted a king. Well, this is after the king. This is AD 70, right? So these are the Levites that came out and started doing, working, right, and doing things. And God said, listen, if you, the Levites, the owners, the bringers of the church said, listen, if this is really what you want, this is what you're going to get. All right? This is what you deserve. But we, in the modern day church, we don't teach that anymore. We teach that you say the prayer once, you confess your sins, you never have to worry about ever being damned or even concerned about judgment anymore. You have passed from life to death. Pizzazz! Go ahead. Have sex with a doorknob. It doesn't matter. God doesn't care what you do. But God does care what we do. See, that's that spirit of Jezebel. They started teaching false up here, and it got progressively and further away from the truth. See, back here, when you entered into the church door, you read this. This was the beginning of the sermon. Yeah, we don't. Even as many people say, as I'm a hard, nasty pastor, I preach hard things. A lot of people have left because I preach too hard. Okay? And so there are those folks that say I'm like that. But I'm not like that. I've never asked that God would curse you to your face and turn his anger on you because you desire sin more than you desire righteousness. It's a little different. Right? We have gone from what it used to be to what it is today. We don't really fear God. These people fear God. They had a reverence and an awe about God that we really don't have today. It's, you know, Jesus is our friend. Jesus is just all right with me.
He's our buddy.
Yeah.
They made a Jesus of their own liking.
Yeah. They made a god in their own image, not the image of the living God.
You know,
see,
can I tell you really, just really quick? I know I'm going to stop and people are sitting there. Anyway, my son called me. My daughter-in-law's father died last week. And my son called me, and we were chatting yesterday. And he's like, well, you know, Mom, now this man, from what it was wicked. Now, apparently, at one point, he accepted Christ.
Right.
But he beat my daughter-in-law. He, everything in his house was porn when they went to whatever. You get the picture. So my son said, but Mom, you know, he did accept Christ. So I believe he's in heaven. And I said to my... And I started talking to my son about the parables. He goes, yeah, but, you know. And I said to my husband, don't be deceived by that.
Yeah.
Because many will stand in front of Christ and think that they're saved.
Yeah.
I actually got a pit in my stomach for my son. I'm like, don't count on that.
Right.
You stay as close as you can to the Lord as you want. But there is that great deception through the years that we are okay with God. And it's scary.
We had friends, Christian friends, or they said that they were Christian because they got saved at Open Door, right? And they said the prayer. He died a drug addicted guy. He was
yes.
And the whole family and all the church, all of the laity of the church, said he's in heaven because he said the prayer. Mm-hmm. Now he was a drunkard and a drug addict and an abuser of people when he died.
But Chris, I believe that until I started coming to this church.
Yeah.
And then you're preaching. God was showing me that that's...
I believe the same thing, too. Believe that you say the prayer once and that's it.
Or you can do whatever you want to.
But there's true repentance, I think.
There's a conversion.
Yes, and I told that to my son. That's really what that means. But it's too foggy.
Yes.
There's...
And see, the Bible's not foggy, but it's not preached as clarity anymore. It is preached as foggy.
It's not preached as clarity.
All right? The Bible plainly says, if you operate in the works of the flesh, you have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. God says he will give you over to the lust of your own heart.
But he also will bless us abundantly if
we
do seek him.
Yes, amen.
I like the positive side of that.
And you're
so
right.
Let's just seek God.
Yeah.
And we don't if we're seeking God, we're not doing that on shock anyway. So
Galatians 5, it goes with that. Go
I agree to you, but I'll tell you what. All the preaching I ever heard up until I came here was all the positive stuff. All I heard was the positive stuff. So now, like, hearing that there is more deeper stuff here than all just the feel-good. Not that I'm saying, like, I believe, because before this morning we were chatting, like, it's not all the gloom and doom also. But there is that part of it that is the seriousness that he just read out of from the Dead Sea Scrolls there and stuff. That I've never heard any of that part of it before. Never been like, there has got to be that fear of God. Not that...
But
I believe it. You said the prayer, and now I could live my life however I wanted to. I could do whatever I wanted to, and it was great. And God is good, and He's love, and this and that, and He is all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is this aspect of it also that is like it's just eye opening. It was almost like I was blinded before, and now I'm
too
seeing.
Yeah, lulled to sleep.
Right.
Lulled to sleep. Go ahead.
Well, the counseling ministry that Lady Key was involved with, you have a counselee that is not having victory over the trials in life, he went to evangelism mode because they probably aren't even saved.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they may have said the prayer they think they're saved, but they're not.
Mm-hmm. But on the other side of the coin, you're right. God is love, all right? But he's also very just, all right? And if we choose, again, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, seek my face, pray. Turn from their wicked ways. How many people who are Christian really do those three, four things?
Well, continually.
Continually.
Not just
once. It is daily, moment by moment. Sometimes when I'm having a bad day, I need to stop and pray a lot. You know, because my flesh is riled up.
But that's why we have each other to help each other.
Yeah.
So she may help you at that moment.
Yes.
It is abiding.
Yeah, and there's the abiding.
It's John 15.
you abide in him. You're walking in him. You're going to, you know, like John said, you know, he just says he doesn't sin is a liar.
Right.
So we're all going to sin. We're all going to fall. We're all human. But there's an abiding and a walking in the light as he is in the light, and you will fall. But you continually. It's like you're looking at him.
Yes.
You're constantly looking towards him. And that's like that abiding.
Yeah.
Right.
And when we fall, we need to fall to Jesus, not away from him.
Right. That's a good idea.
Right.
I think one of the things about being in this study right here, because this focus is end time events and is what we're studying. So this is a very deep, serious.
Yeah.
Right. When I think
who talks about this stuff?
When you're out of, like when we're more in the regular sermon, like, I don't think there's so much. Like when you're just in this setting, you're good. It's like you're hearing all doom and gloom.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're throwing large slabs of raw meat
off.
Right.
But when we're in the service and we're not into this deep, scary.
I think it's good to know both sides. You shouldn't think that something bad can't happen to you internally.
Yeah.
Like. Because then you're living in ignorance, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you need to know there's both sides. I'm just saying, if we focus on the positive, that's going to make our life head in the right direction.
No doubt.
Right?
No doubt. Yeah.
Again, that's where it comes back in 26.
Yeah.
He that overcometh. All right? He that overcometh. These things are real. They're real dark. They're real bad. But you can overcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you can. Every time he says, I know your works, at the end of that, he says, you can overcome. You can get through this, through the power of Jesus Christ. There is victory in Christ Jesus, right? And we need to always hold back, coming back to that. Looking at the state of the world today, it looks really bad. My two favorite words in the whole Bible is, but God.
Yeah.
It looks really bad, but God's in control, right? It looks really bad, but I have promises from God. I have the truth, the way, the life. No man's going to go except through him.
I see it as God's going to allow Satan and his minions to make war against the saints through the Antichrist for 42 months.
Yeah.
And remember, Satan through the years has got the deception into the church that people think they're saved and they're not.
Yeah.
But when they see that nobody can buy or sell without the mark, and people tell them, well, it's right there in Revelation 13 and 14, read it.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll see that if they take that mark, they're doomed for eternity.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to be able to become saved as martyrs.
I hope, I really do. Yeah, there is
something.
Yeah.
Revelation 7 says a great multitude that came out of the
great
tribulation.
Yeah.
No man could number. So,
yeah.
So God's it's a mercy by God allowing that 42 months.
Yes. Absolutely.
Because they'll be able to become saved by standing for Christ to death.
What was going through last year is just practice for the people that are going to next go. We're talking about in Revelation.
Go ahead, Susan.
This is a practice session.
Most churches just preach about love. God is love. You know, but the older churches used to preach on fire and brimstone and the wrath of God.
Yeah.
So he is love.
But he's just
bold.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in this, remember, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. Right? This is what it's saying in verse 26. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him I will give the power, the authority over nations. During the millennial reign with Christ, the overcomers, you got authority. You're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. But you got to be an overcomer. You can't give in to these false doctrines. You cannot love your life more than you love the Lord. Right? You can't be giving in to them. And he says in verse 27, and he shall rule with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall be broken into shivers, even as I received from my Lord. Alright, so during the millennial reign of Christ, only righteousness will rule. If you ain't righteous, God's righteousness, not personal righteousness, God says he's going to bust you up. All right? Let's bring it back down to our vernacular we can understand. God says he will bust you like a clay pot. with that rod of iron. You ever take a metal baseball bat and hit a clay pot? Clay pot don't last long, right?
Even a wood one.
Even a wood one, you're right. But he says a rod of iron, so as he's going to take a rod of iron, a piece of rebar, and he's going to bust you up. So we need to make sure that we're overcomers. You got something?
And to go with what you were saying earlier, in Luke 3:16, it says that John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, that the latchet of shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Fire. Amen.
So it's either or. He's talking to the multitude.
Yeah.
Either you get the Holy Ghost or you get the fire.
Yeah. Praise God. See, without a gathering like this, without teaching like this, the Spirit of God wouldn't, she would have the Spirit of God, but it would not, he would not move freely through her life. She was able to say, listen, y'all are in Revelation. Have you ever looked at Luke chapter 3? Come on. You know, and praise. Oh, she is.
Well,
she is.
In that same chapter, they say, we be Abraham's seed.
Yeah.
We're good.
Right.
Because we're born through Abraham's seed.
God can raise up the rocks. Don't think you're special. Yeah. You know?
But that's the thought today. Oh, we be Jesus' seed because we praise the prayer.
And again, at the end of this, and at the end of every church, he says, he who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. So, go ahead, sister.
Can you just define seed? You just said that word, and I've been hearing that. What is did you say Jesus' seed?
Yeah, seed. You know, God said he'd bless those that blessed Abraham or Abraham's seed.
Israel.
Blessed, yeah.
Israel.
Right. Is it the generations?
Is the offspring. All right. Jesus also referred to himself as a seed. Unless the seed fall to the ground and die, it remains in himself. But if it dies, it produces much. All right, so as we die to ourselves and live for God, it will produce much. We have a seed of righteousness that God put into every human being. He put his seed of right and wrong, of love and hate in you. Now, humans are the only creatures on the planet that actually need to worship something. You know, you'll never see a cow blessing God for his solage, you know, or a pig. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, they just eat. You ever feed your dog? You throw that food out there, they just eat it and gobble it up. They never, unless you train them. I know I've seen the stupid YouTube thing. I made my dog pray before. No, you make your dog wait before it eats. All it wants to do is eat. All right, so humans are the only ones on the planet. Animals don't have this deep desire to seek something more. For a deer or an antelope or a rabbit, their greatest desire is to reproduce. That's all they want.
Atheism is a religion.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
It is.
It's still a belief in something. It's a belief in nothing.
So we got kind of off the subject.
Yeah.
Yes. Chris and I have ADHD,
I don't understand.
To help modernize this for you, I believe that America has been blessed because we have been an ally to Israel and we have protected Israel. Now what probably will happen in our near future is there's going to be, this country will turn its back on Israel. If that happens, God will turn his back on us. So if that helps to understand, we've always been an ally to Israel.
Amen. Now remember, the only one who's standing for Israel right now in this nation, in our parliamentary nation, in our government, is Trump.
Right.
Democrats don't want to help him. The Republicans don't want to help him. They hate Israel. The whole world got steaming mad because Trump said that the capital of Israel is Jerusalem. Okay, and we're moving our embassy there. There's not one Democrat or Republican that really agreed with that. But,
in the last 4 months, they've gotten four Muslim-majority countries forming diplomatic relations with Israel.
Yeah. Which...
the bud's where to go.
Which is that covenant, I believe, is the covenant that was spoken of in Daniel chapter 2. that is the beginning mark of the 70 weeks of Daniel.
Let's go back to Ezekiel also. That's setting the stage for Ezekiel 38 and 39 to be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. So, and then a lot of this stuff, you don't know the actual sequence. But
yes.
Yeah, I'd like to get back to the seed a little bit.
Yeah, come on.
See, the Hebrews thought that, well, if they're the seed of Abraham, they're going to be automatically blessed and God's going to save them and all that, and that they could live any way they wanted. And then John the Baptist and Jesus clarified that stuff. That ain't the way it works.
It's not automatic.
Right. It's not this automatic thing. But that same idea is in most of the churches today. That, oh, I said the prayer, so I became the seed of Jesus, so everything's going to be fine. No. You gotta bear fruit, maintain a relationship with Christ. So the deception of the seed is bad, but it's huge.
Thank you.
But yeah, you become the seed of Christ if you totally believe and receive Christ. Yeah, and start living for him.
And then the seed needs to grow in your
right. But if you stop doing that,
then it's not automatic.
You can lose it.
Right.
It's not works of righteousness which I have done.
Right.
It's his mercy that saved me.
Yeah. He wants to continue to work his will through you. Continue. And then have that relationship.
Your righteousness is filthy rash.
I know.
But he wants that continual relationship.
Because it's not works of righteousness which saved me. I am not saved by my righteousness. My righteousness is filthy rash. It's an abiding in him. And it's walking in his light, and it's continually to abide in faith and to look up to him. It's not going to be our works that's going to save us. It's going to be walk. As you walk in the light as he is in the light, you're going to manifest those works.
Right.
It's unvariable. You're going to.
Yeah. It happens. You don't have to try to force.
Right. It's going to be a fruit of your life.
When you love him, you're going to do them. That's just going to be who you are.
Yeah.
I mean, Israel couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do it.
No.
Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, of the daily meditation for all of us. Trust the Lord with all our heart.
You know, there's a verse, can I read a couple verses in Colossians?
Colossians
chapter 1, and verse 20, verse 20 through 23. And I think this, to me, this kind of encapsulates what I think. And it says, in having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, Kevin, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Here's the part. If ye continue in the faith.
Yeah.
Grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard. Now, is there such a thing as just it's not abiding in faith?
Yes.
That's what happens to these people. They just won't abide in faith.
Mm-hmm.
They turn from the faith.
Yes.
This is my faith.
Yes.
I don't have anything else but Jesus Christ.
Right.
And I think that's what God says, come on to me.
Yeah.
To come on to me. I abide in him because I have nothing else.
In our
but
modern
they
time,
find something else.
Where are people finding their faith right now? The vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
My faith is in the vaccine.
The government.
In the mask. My faith is in Fauci. My faith is in science. That the world is saying that's where their faith is.
Right.
All right? But God, like you're saying, and when we walk away from true faith, God allows us to do fornication with Jezebel.
Exactly.
Yeah, he allows that. When we walk away from righteousness, when we choose to walk away, God says, all right, you want to go eat with the pigs?
And isn't that Romans chapter 7?
Yes, it is.
Where Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, that which I want to do, I don't, or which I do.
Yes.
I mean, it's just this, and he's showing this warfare going on inside the Apostle Paul,
yeah,
who wrote half of the New Testament.
Yeah.
every day. His humanness really shows in there.
Yeah.
Yes.
And our humanness.
Oh, it's
as
a precious chapter.
Our heart is pure
read.
And beautiful, but our
yeah.
flesh is
it's
still
bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just this battle.
Again, if we walk in the Spirit, we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Right.
All right?
That protection is there. The Holy Spirit is praying for us
constantly. But we need to desire the things of the Spirit more than the things of the flesh. It's a personal struggle that I can't make you do. All right? I can bring you, I can show you the truth, I can show you Scripture, I can show you the gentleness and the terrible day of the Lord. All right? Because on both of those, when the day of the Lord comes in the Old Testament, it says it is a terrible day. It's not, woohoo, let's celebrate, where's our clackers? We're going to all enjoy it. No, it's hard.
And I don't mean to be shooting my mouth off, but you know what? It's like this. I think that when I sin, when I do something, let's not fool ourselves. We don't sin.
Amen.
So I haven't arrived.
Yeah.
So when I sin, I think a real bellwether mark of where I am is, how do I feel after I sin? How broken is my heart? When I do something that's not right and I'm brought to this place where I go, Lord, forgive me for what I've done.
Yeah.
But or do I go, hey, you man, let's go, I continue on and like not even rip,
I said the prayer.
Yeah.
I'm good to go.
I'm good.
Hey.
God's all love.
That's part
of
it.
Let's just look at the funner side of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What you said is very true. God is good. He is love. He is righteousness. No doubt. We're not. Okay. And our job is to be conformed into the image of Christ. So in that, we need to do real warfare with this. And for too many hundreds of years, or at least for sure 50 years in America, the battle, the real spiritual battle that has to happen right here has not been taught. We have raised up the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, generation after generation that don't know the awesomeness of God. We haven't taught the fear of the Lord. And it sounds like in this setting right here, it's all fear, it's all push, it's all that. It's because we haven't been taught a little bit all along. You know, like at the very earliest churches, when these people, they were worshiping in caves. These are the Dead Sea Scrolls. These were the Q-U-K-M-U-N.
Q-A-R-E-M.
Yeah, Qumran. I guess if I was... something like that. It was that particular group of people that lived there, and they worshiped there, and they wrote these Dead Sea Scrolls, and they put them in these vessels, and that's how it used to be. And look at how it used to be to the way that it is now. We lost something marvelous.
What you read there was wow. Revelation 3:15 says, Christ speaking here, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So, close relationship, a walk with him. People are lukewarm, and this idea taught that, you say the prayer and you're eternally locked in, no matter what you do, so you want to live for yourself, thinking that, with the deception that, I'm good. And Christ says he'll spew you out of his mouth. If he spits you out, I don't see you still in Christ,
That's because you never were in Christ.
Well, if he spits you out, I think you had to be in. If the Bible says he can blot you out, when only those that he foreknew would ever be saved were written in the book of life before the foundation of the world. So.
Yeah, but think about that. The Lord promises that if you are in him, he has to keep you. He that which I committed unto him against that day.
Good song.
But,
right.
But so that's why I kind of, I'm not sure you're really going to be saved when you excuse you or this. No, because you're talking out of one side and you're doing something out of the other. And God's like, I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
You know.
But you got to be aiming for him to spit you out. You know.
Well, that's a we can dig into that, but we're real close to the end. We only got into this Jezebel church. Okay, really and truly, one of these days we will finish with the church section of this. But like I said, these conversations are more valuable than me reciting scripture, because this is where real growth is going to happen. It's because each of y'all have the spirit of the living God in you. And what you're saying and the way that God's bringing these things out of you, that's what spurs growth on.
Each one of those seven charities, we're fighting with the same things with ourselves.
Amen.
This is timeless. In the future, now, for
us.
Hey,
bro.
And we can't have it both ways. Luke 9:24 says, "For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life
Mm-hmm.
So, one or the other.
Yeah.
We can't walk in the flesh.
You're right. You can't serve both God and mammon. You know, it's just... So there needs to be a dividing line.
Yeah.
Choose you today whom you're going to serve. Either the gods of your fathers or the God of the real God. And it's your choice. Joshua said, "I don't care what y'all guys choose. As for me and my house, I'm choosing God."
You know what? This keeps coming up to me.
Yeah.
No matter how evil we are, there's three scripture in Isaiah. It says, "For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still."
Mm-hmm.
He still wants us to go to him.
Yeah, he does. He wants us to. But if we refuse, so if you say the prayer and you refuse to walk in holiness, you have no confidence in your salvation. There's no confidence. I'm confident in Christ. I'm confident that I am in Christ. All right. I know that no angel can pull me out. But I also know that if I choose to walk away, that's a free will choice. God never takes your free will away from you. You can. If the prodigal son, I've said this 1,000 times, would have died outside of the father's blessing, it's not that he took the wealth of the father and went and wasted it, or that he ended up eating with the swine. When he came to his senses, if he would have never come to his senses and repented and came back, and he would have died there, he would have died outside of the father's blessing. Right? Okay, and so that doesn't mean that he wasn't part of the Father. He just doesn't have any reward. He wasted it all and died in that wastefulness. There's nothing left.
Yeah. Well, that's why God, when he threatens, threatens you for the way you're living, he always says, "Repent."
Yes.
Back.
And the overcomer, he who overcomes.
Back.
And through that, each one of those says, how do you get over? You got to repent. Repenting is more than just confessing. A lot of folks said, "Well, I confess. Okay, I confess that I robbed, and so guess what I'm going to do tomorrow? I'm going to get up and rob again." That didn't repent, you just confessed it. God already knew that you're a robber at heart. He already knew that. The repentance is the turning away from it.
It's like going to a priest on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Or whenever
you go. Whenever you go, yeah.
You say, "Okay, I did this," but then you just kind
of
do
it. Well, count your beads, right? So you're armoring, all those kind of things. I don't know what it is. I'm not putting down any of that stuff, amen. Because I know that's where your heart is. That's if all you're doing is counting beads and saying prayers, you're not doing what God's called you to do.
And that's something you're doing, not the carpet.
Amen. God says there's one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. Right? One. Don't confess to me. I cannot give you absolution. Go ahead, bro. Yes.
To be saved, it says faith cometh by hearing.
Hearing.
And then it says hearing by the word of God.
And I think part of the problem with a lot of the churches and people today is they're fake Bibles that they're all reading.
Yes.
And thinking that's all right.
Yeah.
Instead of going with the Bible that God has blessed since 1611.
Right.
I disagree. King
James. Well, I know a lot of people disagree with that, but
I
disagreed with that.
Yeah.
And I went to God and I studied it and I say to you this, don't make up your mind now. Ask God to show you. But if you look at the testimony of everything since the 1611 Bible, and then you watch how America falling apart in the 1880s,
mm-hmm.
when the RSV and the ASV and all these things come about, they don't say the same thing as this word. They don't say it. They take out, you know that this is the only Bible that uses the word Jehovah?
Right.
No other Bible other than the KJV uses the word Jehovah.
So you don't even like the new KJV?
I don't like the new KJV.
No.
I believe this, that God, I believe God that he preserved his word.
Amen.
And I believe the devil's main thing is to pervert this word as he did with Eve.
Well, how can
and I don't, and I'm not, all I want you to do is look at it.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to agree with me because I said it.
Well, I know,
but I know
saying,
where you're coming
not
from.
Because
right.
I use the John MacArthur study Bible.
Oh, I know people are saved. King James.
I think that's
something. I don't think it has an error in it.
No,
like last week when you said you changed that,
that
bothered me.
Did it?
I didn't offend me, but
right.
it bothered me because I'm thinking, I don't think that.
I think it's perfect.
I think it's perfect.
So when Paul wrote.
God, listen, read John 1:1.
Yeah. In the beginning.
Read John 1:1. And read what he says about his word above his name.
Yeah.
If it's not perfect, it's worthless to me.
Yeah.
No, we're wasting our time.
It,
right.
That's the way I feel. If it's not perfect, well, good is it? God, God's not perfect.
God is perfect. The Bible is perfect. And God is bigger than this. He will save the person with the Gideon Bible that might be in the New King James Version.
You may believe that, and I may believe that, but that doesn't make it so.
Yeah.
Oh, now get me.
No, it doesn't make it so. What we believe doesn't make it so. What God says makes it so.
Look, you can be a Muslim and believe that blowing yourself up gets you closer to God.
You know,
they really believe that.
This Bible dispute, I just think God's bigger than if you get saved and you're reading an NIV does not mean you're not saved.
I didn't say it didn't mean you weren't saved.
He holds his word above his own name.
That's not what you said.
Right.
You said it's more pure.
No, I said it is pure.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, what he's saying is if you change it, it's not the same.
Right.
Right? How can you say
it's different
or
not the same?
Different.
Well, then God will tell me. Don't you think God will tell me?
It depends on your heart.
Ooh.
Well,
I think if you want to know the truth, God will show you the truth. I believe if you want to know the truth, God will show it to you.
Back to Revelation.
Yeah, I just say I didn't mean to cause it?
Oh, sure.
I always wanted to say what was on my heart.
Yes. Go ahead. Go back to Revelation.
Go back to Revelation 19 where it says, and if any man shall take away from the words of this book or of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life.
Mm-hmm.
But
what? They're changing. They're taking words out.
He's talking about a book. Where's this book?
It's this book.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And
it's a different book.
It's
on
the English.
English
language changes. So the modern Bibles are still a little bit more understanding. And you can go back to your
And you can say that about the churches, too. The modern churches are a little more understanding of the Old
Testament.
And they're doing a good job. No, I know.
And
I'm not meaning to dispute you. I don't want it to be a...
I don't judge that somebody is saved or not saved by the Bible that they read.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't do that either.
Unless it's Jehovah.
No, I don't do that either because that's not my part.
But this
it explains maybe what's going on today.
That's what you were saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Hang on a second. This conversation is at two different places. You're talking saved and he's talking perfect word. It's not the same.
It's not the same thing. Because you can get saved without a Bible at all.
He didn't say you're not saved. You brought a different part to the conversation.
Pastor, I'm sorry I did this.
All right, this is causing schism. So let's take a little bit of time and hold that together. Okay, know this, that God judges, okay? God, yes, he is our friend if we do what he commands. That's what Jesus said. I will call you my friend if you do what I command. When we start taking away from the reality of God and start making it lighter, not talking about Bible, talking about a belief system. When we start saying that the Jezebelian spirit behind the pulpit is an okay thing to do, and that comes from taking away from the hardness of God, right? When we start doing that, we start moving away from the righteousness of God. And the further we move away from the righteousness of God, just a little 1 degree increments, right? Little bits at a time. Before you know it, you are so far away from God, you don't even realize it. Jesus told this about lightning in the eye and all that kind of stuff. If your eye be dark, if you think that the darkness is light, then how deep is the darkness? If what you're perceiving as light, as truth, is actually against God, and you think it's for God, then how deep is that? Those people who believe in the doctrine of these churches in the Revelation, of the Nicolaitans, they believe that. How deep was their darkness? Because they didn't believe the truth. The ones who believed in the doctrines of the Jezebelian churches, women running the church, they believed that. Now, how deep was that? Because God's word is absolutely against those things. Jesus said he hated it. The people said they loved it, and they believed in it. They thought it was light, but God said it was darkness. How deep is that? How deep is that darkness in our heart when we see something ungodly and we say it's godly? Right? And that's what's happening now around the world. It's not just America, it's around the world. But that's okay. God's still in control. Amen? Mm-hmm.